Maybe a little Bette Midler thrown in.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman podcast and all things Ira at joebucksfan.com. We're just getting started with this new relationship. A lot of exciting things to come. And to Pin Chasers, Dollar Mania is tonight. That's bowling. Pin Chasers, three Tampa Bay area locations. Every Monday is Dollar Mania starting at 9 p.m. Bring $6. You get a wristband that entitles you to $1 games of bowling, draft beers, Pepsi, and hot dogs. You get access to all of it. Free shoes all the time. That's Pin Chasers tonight, 9 p.m. until close. All locations. Go to pinchasers.net, pinchasers.net. You can see all of the daily specials, and they have them every day. It's not just a word. It's a real daily special. 60 years of Pin Chasers entertaining folks across the Tampa Bay area. Pinchasers.net. Now, Thursday night, we are just 3 days away from Ira Kaufman and the next stop on the Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour. The Sage will be in Riverview watching the Buccaneers-Panthers game with you. Now, this is just east of 301, a little bit farther east of 75, Buffalo Wild Wings, Big Ben Road in Riverview. Ira's got giveaways. He'll be there at 7:30, and he's going to watch the game with you. Nothing more fun than watching football with Ira. He doesn't take a lot of notes. He talks, and he catches up on the game later. So, great times ahead. BuffaloWildWings.com to watch all the games all the time. And here's the Sage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the world-renowned. Ira, we had someone from the beaches of Italy, Capri, listening to your podcast with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the King of Newport Richie, the Custodian of Canton, none other than Ira Kaufman himself. And Ira, I don't think I'm incorrect to say this is going to be somewhat of a chagrin podcast after both you and I witnessed a couple hours earlier the Bucks just dropping number two on themselves, losing to the 49ers, mistakes all over the place. We're recording this podcast in the booth. We're outside the booth. There's a sign that says Bucks Administration only. Absolutely no visitors. No one's around. We're not visiting anybody. But I assume I'm sitting in the very seat that the Bucks general manager, Jason Light, is sitting in. Would it be fair to say Jason is wondering who will be quarterbacking this team a year from tonight?
I think Buck fans are asking themselves that very question. Now, Lee, you described how this podcast travels. And today, we saw how the 49ers travel. And the most shocking thing to me, and I think Buck fans are nodding their heads in agreement, they didn't even play particularly well, the 49ers. All kinds of penalties, three touchdowns, wiped out. That doesn't happen. Now, the Bucs had two of their own, both of them with Cameron Brate. The 49ers, cross-country, heat index 103. They're not supposed to win that game unless they come out and play spectacular football. It was far from it. The first half, Lee, I got to tell you, by the time they opened up the Bananas Foster line, and I didn't get on it.
You never do.
I never did, but I didn't get on it. First, I expected Jason Light to be first in line over there to get something that can take the taste out of that first half. That was dreadful football. Horrible football in the first half. I mean, it's not even funny, Lee. It's funny in a way, but you're charging money. You're charging a lot of money for entertainment. People, you know, their disposable income, they got to decide what they're going to do. And then you put out a product like that, especially in the first half. Second half wasn't much better by Buck standards. I mean, the 49ers played a solid second half. But, you know, I saw John Lynch after the game. I made a beeline into the 49er dressing room, which I normally don't do because I wanted to see Kwan. I wanted to see Lynch. And he's looking me sideways over that.
Lynch's?
Six-time Hall of Fame speeches over there. But I also ran into DeForest Buckner, who was standing there, the guy 6'7". I'm 5'7". I wouldn't want to try to block that guy, DeKemper. And I got there just in time to hear him say, "We wanted this game more than the Bucks did, and that's why we won it." Now, when Bruce Arians reads that quote in my column, he ain't going to like it. And neither is his coaching staff. Lee, one of the main changes and transformations around here with this new scheme and staff and philosophy was supposed to be disciplined football. Arians talks all the time, you know, don't give games away. Win the close games. Win the games that are up for grabs in the fourth quarter. Lee, none of that worked today. None of it. And you got to start right with the guy under center. He's at center stage. Yeah, there was a pass rush, and they got a good pass rush. But it wasn't like Cleveland the preseason game first half. It wasn't. He made some bad decisions. He made too many bad decisions. And that's the one thing, job one, for this new coaching staff and the guys that are whispering in Winston's ear, from Clyde Christensen and Byron Leftwich on up to Bruce Arians, make better decisions. Don't try to do everything. Lee, his first steps under the Bruce Arians era for Jameis Winston was a pratfall. It was a pratfall. Can you offer up any reasons for this? You making any excuses?
No, neither.
And I don't think Buck fans want to hear it.
There's just no more excuses. The people who are regular readers of JoeBucksFan.com, people that are regular listeners of your vaunted podcast, and I say that because it's always in the Google Top 50. I mean, you finally took down Nancy Grace, Ira. You've taken her down. She's no longer competition with you anymore. Now you're up against the bar stools of the world.
Here's why they know that you are not a Winston hater.
No, far from it. Just the opposite. No, I tweeted this out after the game. I'm sincere about it. I don't think I'm being rash. And I was surprised the people I know that are Winston supporters, and they were even arguing with me in the game on Twitter. What about this or what about that? They agreed with me, to my surprise. I just said it's time that the Bucks need to start scouting quarterbacks for the 2020 draft. And if they haven't yet, then they need to begin studying tomorrow morning. I like Jameis Winston a lot. I want him to succeed. I don't think any Bucks fan does not want him to succeed. No sane Bucks fan. You know, we all have crazies. That's where fan comes back. Fanatic. He's run out of excuses. And the way I look at it, he's got 15 weeks to prove that he needs to be re-signed. 15 weeks. And the sands of the hourglass are running dry. I got to get better. Well, he always says that. No kidding. You know, I should have thrown at the running back's feet. He was trying to hit Dari on a screen pass. Dari got kind of jammed up in a little bit of a scrum. And Jameis said, well, I trusted him. Jameis, you shouldn't be trusting anybody right now. And you should have better vision. If he didn't see the running back coming out, he should have thrown it in the ground. And then Arians said that he hinted that it was in Jameis' head, that squirrely intentional grounding call. That we never got an explanation of it. Now, I talked to Steve Isbitz, who unfortunately he can't be here. He's the other Joe, JoeBucksFan.com. He said on the TV broadcast and the radio broadcast, that rule was explained, and it was a good call. And that may explain why I didn't get bombarded on Twitter about a rotten call. We were befuddled in the press box. We had no idea.
Lee, for Buck fans that are going crazy over that call, let me point something out. If the pass was a little bit closer to the guy, you don't get the call. It's not close. The ball wasn't close to a receiver. Make it a little closer to a receiver, you don't get a flag.
I'm still confused because I've seen countless quarterbacks toss a ball into the stands. It's nowhere near a receiver.
Well, he was in the pocket. He was in the pocket.
Now, that's the only thing I can think of, that he wasn't in the pocket. That's the only thing I can think of. But the players, I talked to Dotson, I talked to Brate. Brate was, if you want to call him the intended target, he was the intended target. Matter of fact, I had my binoculars on him. It looked like he was trying to draw a penalty. He was trying to, and at first when the flag went down, I thought it was interference or maybe late hit on Brate. So he was trying to do an acting job. It was a good acting job by Brate. I guess he learned it at Harvard, you know. Elective course, maybe. And Dotson, I mean, all these guys, the entire team was like, we don't know how that was an intentional grounding. So they were confused. But Arians hinted that got in Jameis' head. You know, they asked him to explain about the interference. And Arians said, well, he got that grounding call. That was almost like it was in his head. And I want Jameis to be the Bucs quarterback and succeed as much as anybody, I think, really wants to. But every week it's something else.
That's understandable if you know, you're talking about a 21-year-old rookie.
Making his first start.
This ain't 2015 anymore.
Thank you. You know, a lot of people came, when I put that on Twitter, I said, it's time for the Bucs to start scouting other quarterbacks. And they said, well, it's only week one. It's week one of year five.
Lady Day is the ultimate team game and the ultimate team sport. But let's be honest, that's what we do here on this podcast. If Jameis Winston played better in the season opener, the Bucs would have won the game. The Bucs would have won the game. They ran the ball well. The defense played pretty well.
Yeah.
The Bucs won the game. Well, the Niners didn't play a good game.
Not even just Jameis. If O.J. Howard doesn't have those two turnovers...
That didn't help.
Not only did it not help, the Bucs would be ahead, and Jameis wouldn't be throwing with 2 minutes to go in the game.
The
two penalty calls on Dotson, and Dotson swears he was innocent. I talked to him after the game. I got him before the herd got him, and he was telling me, man, I don't think they were legit calls at all. And he went to explain why. Those pulled two touchdowns, now granted the same drive, so theoretically that was a touchdown there. And again, when Jameis had the ball late in the game, they were down by three. You put that touchdown on the board, Jameis isn't throwing there. I know it sounds like I'm making an excuse for Jameis. Jameis had a lousy game. Let's get this out on the table. He had a terrible game, a fifth-year, number one overall draft pick, franchise quarterback should not be having those kind of games, period. I get it. But it wasn't like he was the lone culprit. They were, like you said, O.J. Howard's two drummers. Has O.J. Howard regressed?
I don't know, but I'm waiting for him to take that next step and, you know.
Just like Jameis, we're waiting for that next step.
Yeah, you're waiting. You know, I hear Jimmy Giles is telling me how he reminds him, when he sees O.J. Howard, his physique reminds him of himself, and Jimmy Giles is in the Ring of Honor. O.J. Howard's got a ways to go to get into the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and I thought Jimmy Giles was a crushing blocker. And by the way, the reason why I bring this up, in training camp and even in preseason games, I saw him whiffing on blocks.
Bucs played a bad game today, Lee.
They played a bad game.
I mean, there's no getting around it. They had a lot of things going for them. The heat factor.
I'm done with teams using the heat as a rallying point.
The 49ers look fresher in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, these guys from Napa Valley. Give me a break. This game sort of reminded me, not quite, but it sort of reminded me, you know, Bucs are beating their chest. You know, we'll get used to the heat. These guys from San Francisco, they're not going to be used to the humidity. They outplayed them in the second half when, in theory, the other team, in this case the 49ers, should be wilting in the heat. It was just the opposite. And I remember a few years ago, I think it was Raheem's first game against Dallas, 4 o'clock game, brutal heat, and Raheem, oh, we'll give him the melt, we'll give him, like, it doesn't get hot in Texas. You were in Texas this summer, you know about that. And Cowboys just hogtied him, just beat them to a pulp. So I'm done with, the Bucs will get him by the heat. The Bucs have proven that's nonsense.
All right, now, I got Buffalo Wild Wings Thursday night. Come out and see me while the Bucs are taking on the Panthers. I'll be in Riverview. Riverview, I believe it's off I-75, and I'm looking for a heck of a lot better effort.
Bill Curry Ford came in recently, proud sponsor of this podcast. The first family of Ford in the Tampa Bay area, they're located on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro. It's basically a Ray Guy punt from Raymond James Stadium. And I got to tell you this, Ira, and I know people may have heard it last week, but I know not everybody listens to every episode of the podcast, but this is one reason why Bill Curry Ford is so special. They believe in concierge service.
And you've experienced it.
Yes, I've experienced it. You know, customer service, that's usually when you call someone and you get somebody from India and there's
some
language.
Sloppy. Yeah.
Okay. And there's a language barrier sometimes, and it's a harrowing experience. That's not fun. And customer service, that's negative. I mean, you go to, the Aria in Las Vegas. The concierge takes care of you. They find you tickets. They find you this. They find you that. Concierge first class. The hoi polloi.
How you want to be treated.
That's right. And that's what they do at Bill Curry Ford. I bought a new truck months before they sponsored you, Ira. I just knew the general manager there. His name's Sean Sullivan. Fantastic guy.
Big Buck fan.
Hardcore, man. You could talk to this guy for hours about the Bucs. And I do mean hours. And he'll love to do it, too. At any rate, I bought my F-150 there. Loved it. I bought the truck just days before Lovebug season came. And those damn things, they were bad this year. And I know if you don't wash your truck or your vehicle, that will burn the paint. It'll ruin your paint job. I was washing the car every 2 days. One day I come home from the car wash, and I happen to look at the hood, and I missed a spot. And I look, I missed another spot. Wait a minute, those are still bugs. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I went back and washed it again. A half hour later, I washed it again. They're still there. I'm freaking out. I got a truck that's 6 weeks old, and I'm thinking my paint job's run. So what do? I call Bill Curry Ford, and I say, I'm going to get my truck detailed. And like, yeah, we'll detail your truck. Just bring the, what, when are you coming in? Oh, I made an appointment. Oh, come on in. So I come on in. They detail it. It's fantastic. Unbelievable. It looked like it just came off the rack. It should have been in the showroom. Beautiful. And I didn't find out till 2 days later, they don't do detailing. So when I talk about concierge service, they did something for me with my truck that they don't normally do. They go above and beyond to make their customers happy. So if you're in the market for any kind of truck, a Ford, if you want to tool around in a Mustang to try to impress that chick down the block, go talk to Sean Sullivan and his team at Bill Curry Ford. Say you're a Bucks fan. Make sure you have about an hour of free time because you guys will be talking Bucks for at least an hour, and they will treat you right. That's Bill Curry Ford, Tampa, Florida, Dale Mabry Highway, just north of the stadium. Just tell Sean Joe Bucks fan sent you.
Wait, it's only one game.
Only one game, correct.
The Bucks have been successful the last few years in season openers and didn't get them anywhere. So don't
like the last 3 years.
Don't be defined by game one.
That's a great point. Dirk Cutter, to his credit, he was 3-0 in season opening games, and only once did he have a winning record. And usually his teams fell apart, and it's going to happen. And you're absolutely correct. It's only one game, and NFL fans, I'm one of them, and I think you are too, we tend to overreact on week one because we're so excited about week one. It's like Christmas Day. It's like the holiday season.
But Lee, what does matter is that when the season ends, the Niners are going to be a 6-10 football team.
Should be.
And they came into your house to open the Bruce Arians era, and you laid an egg. Well, I mean that's you're going to look back at that.
You are. I'm going to buttress your point.
And they better have short memories this week.
I'm going to buttress your point.
Buttress.
Yeah, you like that word, buttress.
That's outstanding.
I happen to remember an excellent Bucks team that opened the season. It was a 4 o'clock game as well. I had season tickets that time. I sat over there.
Don't tell me you're going to be talking about when the Saints marched in here in 2002.
I was sitting in the 300 level, the southeast corner of the stadium, and I saw the lousy
Saints.
That's
exactly where that game ended, in the south end zone.
Yep. The lousy Saints came in here and pumped Chucky and the Bucks, and the Bucks went on to win the Super Bowl.
Chucky's first game.
Bruce Arians' first game.
They lost to a division rival at home. Everybody's saying, what's going on? Who's this Gruden guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, 13 points, I think?
Now the Bucks, the 2019 Bucks are not going to go to the Super Bowl.
No.
All right, we understand that. But, you know, I'm not going to say the effort was poor. The execution was really bad.
Yeah. Now, I talked to a fan last week before the game. And we were talking about the need or lack of need for preseason games. You know where I stand. They should be abolished. And this guy was saying, well, the games are so sloppy week one, you really need a preseason game. And I said, you know what? I'd rather watch starters play for all 60 minutes and play sloppy than watch insurance claims adjusters and FedEx managers and rental car agents play 3/4 of the game. That's just me. But could some of that be the first game? Fair.
Maybe.
But it's not to blame. That's not an excuse.
Lee, bright spots, Hargraves.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones. I mean, you know, you and I have been saying, well, where is this Ronald Jones? You better live up to the hype of training camp, you know, and OTAs, and this guy looks like a new guy. And tell you what, he looked good today. He ran between the tackles.
He looked better.
He ran hard, and he was decisive. And the holes weren't bad.
I like the word decisive. No dancing, no rope-a-dope, boom.
And the line did a better job of run blocking.
They did.
They did.
Yeah.
They did a better job. Now, Hargraves, that was a beautiful pick. Mm-hmm. Beautiful pick. Pick six.
And did you hear Gary Shelton?
No.
For those who don't know, Gary Shelton is a veteran, long-time columnist.
Crusty.
Yeah, acerbic, is that right?
Acerbic, yeah.
Well, crusty's good, but there's another word.
Salty.
Salty, sarcastic, there's another word I can't think of it, but anyway, he's all of that. But he's a good guy, And right before the interception, I think Garoppolo just took the snap, and Gary Shelton out loud said, the Bucks need a pick here. And as soon as pick came out of his mouth, boom, the football gods heard him, and Hargraves
The Bucks need to hire Shelton and let him travel on the road with him, too. Hey, the Bucks need a fumble here. Hey.
Yeah, but Hargraves, that was a good sign.
I'll tell you, one of the guys that was really the most grateful, I would say, is the word in the 49er locker room was Quan Alexander.
Oh, you spoke with him. I know you said you went there, but I didn't know.
He talked about the hit on Winston. that led to the ejection. He said it certainly wasn't deliberate. It happened. He's playing hard. I believe him.
I do too, because he doesn't seem like a dirty guy.
Yeah.
He should be smarter than that.
And he was very thankful that his teammates bailed him out after he was ejected. He played a solid game behind him. You know, Quan's an emotional leader. You and I have talked many times about Quan Alexander, and I said many times, he gets in trouble when he's too emotional.
Yeah.
That's when he gets in trouble. He takes bad angles. He overruns the play.
Who else does that sound like?
if he plays... All right, who you got on that?
Jameis.
Yeah,
a little bit. Like today on Twitter, I don't mean to interrupt you, but today on Twitter, you know, someone said, oh, Jameis is too hyped up, he needs to calm down. And I replied back, and I'm sincere about this. You know I defend Jameis. I said, if you're getting too hyped for a game in your fifth season, you might need to see a shrink.
Lee, one more thing about Winston, then we'll move on. Mm-hmm. But there's a sheet in front of me here as we sit here in this assistant coach's box or whatever. It's got a lot of Winston quotes. I just read through them, about 15 questions. I don't really see where he's taking a lot of accountability and basically saying, I played a lousy game. I don't see it. I would like to hear him say it.
He is
the leader.
Yeah,
I would like to hear him say it.
He did say on a couple specific plays, I need to play better. I should have thrown the ball in the dirt. I had trusted my running back to get loose. There were a couple times he sort of did it in a roundabout way. But yeah, it would be nice rather than hearing him say, oh, I need to play better. Well, no kidding. But it would be nice to say, loss is on me. Now, I would say, as I did earlier, you could point to Dodson. You could point to Howard. Jameis wasn't the only culprit, but that's not to excuse him. That's not to look, you know, sweep it under the rug. He had a lousy game.
How'd the pass rush look to you?
Surprisingly good. No, it was Jordan Whitehead got one of the sacks. I can't remember how many sacks he got.
Barrett had a sack.
Oh, that's right. Barrett had a sack. Great play. Blew through the block. It was a fine play. Barrett, I think I said this before.
We've been saying he's a good pickup.
Yeah, I think he's a dark horse. I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle with Sue, but I think he's a heck of a pickup. I really do.
Sue played okay.
Yeah, he played good. Okay. Did he get a sack? He got something. I remember.
He dropped the guy on third and one for a 1 yard loss.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Sue played well. Villa is quick for a big guy. He's quick.
And I thought Levante played well.
Levante was on fire.
I thought he played well.
Did he look like a guy that missed about a month?
No, not at all.
Didn't look like he didn't miss a beat.
Here's a guy. I had my eye on him because when I did Fox Tailgate Sunday out here at 10:30, I was here at 10:30 in the morning.
Seen on
Fox 13 at 10:30 in the morning. Every week.
Mark your calendars, set your DVRs.
Sunday morning at 10:30. So anyway.
Channel 13.
One of the questions I'm on with Ricky Reynolds, and he says, who's going to be the star of the game? Ricky Reynolds picked Carl Nassib. Okay. So Scott Smith says, what do you got, Sage? So I said, well, I'm going to go with a surprise. I'm going to go with rookie safety Mike Edwards. All day long, I'm looking for rookie safety.
He didn't start.
He snapped. He had about four snaps.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to him after the game. And by the way,
he made
a big stop with 2.5 minutes left on a third down play. Mm-hmm. He was all over the pass. It was incomplete. They had to take a field goal. That's a big play.
Yeah.
He thought, hey, if the Bucs win this game, that's one of the key plays of this game. Now, it didn't happen. So after the game, I go up to Edwards. I said, how many snaps did you take? He says, about four snaps. Now, he missed a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Right? He had a hamstring.
Yeah.
Second week of August, hamstring. I think it lingered more than they thought it would. But I thought he was starting today. I thought he was going to play a lot today. So I had him like, hey, he's going to be on George Kittle, and he's going to do a good job on Kittle, and that's going to help the Bucs win this game, and turned out to be a non-factor. But I still think he's going to be a big part of this team, and I still think the coaching staff loves this guy.
I think he'll start.
And we don't know where Justin Evans is.
You sort of took the words out of my mouth. I don't know where this team is at in the thought process of Justin Evans. Are they just going to give up on him? I mean, I always revert to the famous Bill Parcells saying, and he had many, but one of my favorites was, and you probably heard him say it because you covered the Giants at the time, and he said, your best ability is your availability, meaning you could be O.J. Howard, but if you're not on the field, you aren't any better than Anthony Eclair. Justin Evans has to get on the field. He's got to be available. He could be the most talented star-studded Hercules that lives at center or at safety. And if he's not healthy, if he's on the field, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't think they're going to cut him. I think they'll let him on the team for a year and see what happens. But just like I said earlier, I think this team, I think Jason Light, I'm probably sitting in the very seat Jason Light was sitting in during the game. If it didn't cross his mind, he might have to look for a new quarterback. I also think it's crossed his mind, what do I do with Justin Evans? Because as talented as he may be, it doesn't matter if he can't get on the field. And he hasn't been on the field since December with all kinds of lingering leg issues.
Leah, I thought the crowd was a little disappointing. I thought it was a little disappointing. And without Tim McGraw, it would have been less.
You think so?
Well, it would have been somewhat less. I'm not saying 15,000 less, but you know, it certainly, some people came out just to see Tim McGraw. He's that big a name.
Were you out there with Hazel?
He plays stadiums. This guy plays stadiums.
I was more interested in his wife. She wasn't here, Faith Hill.
I understand.
But, I mean, were you out there bouncing with the 46-year-old divorcees?
I was not because, you know, unless he played some Springsteen songs, I ain't listening. Maybe a little Bette Midler thrown in.
I'll say this.
I had a Buddy Holly tweet the other day.
Yeah, I mock you.
I'm really going back.
Oh, I'll just say this about Buddy Holly. I know Buddy Hackett. I know Lauren Holly. I don't know anything about Buddy Holly. I hear the name all the time. Why is this guy special?
Didn't you see the Buddy Holly story with Gary Busey?
No, I did see the movie where Gary Busey played Bear Bryant. That was an abomination.
He's a nut job. Busey's a nut job. He fit in on this Buck defense beautifully. Put him right next to Carl Nassib. It's beautiful.
Now, you talk about Mac Edwards. And I don't doubt that he's going to start when he's healthy. Although Jordan Whitehead was fine today. If anything, he made a case for himself staying in the starting lineup. But I do believe Mike Edwards will be starting at some point this year. But as we speak, right now, after the first game of the season, 2019 draft, the Bucs have exactly one starter, as we speak, pending Edwards, of course. That's not good. That is one reason why the Bucs stink. They've swung and missed at so many draft picks. And I heard Bill Polian on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He said, ideally, every year, you want four starters out of every draft. One guy to be a stud, that would be Devin White. Another guy to be pretty darn good, maybe float with a Pro Bowl, maybe not. And the two over the others to be serviceable. And that's how you build a team. They ain't the Bucks.
Is this loss going to linger this week? Is it going to hurt their confidence? I mean, is Arians going to read them the riot act?
Well, I hope it shakes them up. I hope they start playing, you know, when that may be, I don't know. But I hope they start playing discipline. And that's all it was discipline. Block properly, DeMar Dotson. That was fundamentals. Now, maybe he got jobbed on one call. Second call, I don't know. But
what about the punt? That sort of set the stage for the whole thing.
Yeah, it did. And O.J. Howard, take care of the ball. The pass gets in your hands, catch it. You got the ball in your hands, don't fumble it.
Forgettable game for O.J. Howard.
Very forgettable.
Very forgettable.
And I hope that's the worst game he's ever had in his career. But
your man McCoy had one tackle today. One tackle. No sacks. One tackle. They give up 30 points to the Rams.
Well, that's another thing that hurts. And that is partially why Dirk Koetter is no longer here. Last year, both the Panthers and the Falcons had subpar years. Everybody and their brother expected them to have a winning season, if not the playoffs. That didn't happen. Bucks couldn't take advantage. Here we go again. Season starts. Dirk Koetter's offense was very pedestrian, and he had more weapons in Atlanta than he did with Tampa Bay, I dare say.
And better quarterback, certainly.
Certainly better quarterback. And they were shut out for most of the game.
Yes.
And then the Panthers
scored a couple of cheap touchdowns at the end.
Obviously, the Panthers lost. They didn't look that hot. So, you know, here's your two division rivals who are expected to be above you in the standings. They lose. You got to make hay with that. You got to take advantage. And they didn't. And that's bad.
We'll zero in on the Panthers game. But I'm going to say it right now. I don't care if it's Sunday night. Nothing's going to change. You got one job. Cover Christian McCaffrey and tackle Christian McCaffrey. The guy ran for like $170 and caught 100. You know, I mean, he had over 200 all-purpose yards.
Wow. You have Devin White shadowing?
Devin White. You got the speed. Go cover this guy. You know, I talked about him covering Kamara on those swing passes. It's a big challenge. Newton played today. I think he's fairly healthy, you know. But they gave up 30 points to the Rams. And look, this is the Bucs' only national television. Only one, right, Lee?
And they play like they did today, guaranteed.
So, you know, what do you hear from, what are we going to hear in the locker room? Everybody's watching Thursday night. We want to put our best face forward, including you, Mr. Winston. So, let's see what happens. Look, you said it before. Don't let this loss define you, but it was a bad loss.
Now, I know a lot of people, I've been reading it on Twitter, seeing it in the comments on JoeBucksFan.com, clamoring for Winston to be benched. That ain't happening.
That ain't happening. That's
crazy talk. That ain't happening. I think they will give him, healthy, as long as he's healthy, 15 weeks. I really do. But you know what? He had a bad game today. That's one less game. He's got a chance to prove that he should come back. So now he's got 15 more chances. Time's running out for James.
The subtext of the season is we got to make a decision on Jameis Winston.
Yeah, so they're not going to bench him.
No, not a chance in the world.
If they do bench him, he's gone. Period. Guaranteed.
And he won't be back. Yeah.
Exactly.
But we will be back later in this weekly for this award-winning podcast. It's growing in popularity. And let's throw out a little hint to our listeners over there, especially our overseas people. We might have a little surprise in terms of a guest coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll see. We're going to be working on it.
Yeah, I've heard
but
this.
But it's going to be exciting if it happens.
Yeah, I've been reached out by a second party that a very, very popular figure in the Tampa Bay area is begging to be on your podcast. Now, it's just in the very embryonic stages. We haven't had schedules figured out yet. We haven't figured
out. And it is not Nikita Kucherov. It is not. It's not Nikita Kucherov.
Nor is it Nikita Khrushchev.
But we're working on it to make it happen. And we think it will.
Kucherov.
Nikita Kucherov. And on that note, we're signing off.
Well, no, we can't sign off yet because
wait a minute.
You have to pimp your appearance on Mad Dog.
I'll be on the Mad Dog. Last week I was on Thursday, only for last week. I'm going to go back to my original Wednesday, 5 o'clock, Sirius XM, Channel 82. 30 minutes with the doggy. And of course, if I'm going on the day before the game, he's going to ask me a lot about what's going on down here in Tampa.
Oh, sure.
And I'm not going to pretty it up, Lee.
No.
And nor should I.
Nor should you.
I've got Spectrum Monday nights with Mr. Roy Cummings. And he wasn't taking on Todd Wright with you tonight, was he?
A little bit.
But carry on, Buck fans. All is not lost. Bad start. Plenty of season left.